This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking about different things happening at MTSU, and our first guest this morning is Ty Whitaker, Senior Manager of the True Blue TV at MTSU. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you. So tell us a little bit about what you do at MTSU with True Blue.
Well, True Blue TV has become the hub of anything MTSU. And I'm the senior manager. I pretty much just keep the thing running. But it's my favorite subject. And I'm really proud of what we've been able to do. The station took a big change. It's been around since 1979, where Frank Forgette, who was the director of AV Services, had a VIC-20 computer, and he hooked it up to the cable company at in Murfreesboro at the time. I was a student working in the studio recording professors who had to go somewhere and needed to do their lectures for the kids to watch on VHS.
Oh.
And so I didn't know anything about the station. And over the years, it had so many missions. In 1999, it turned into the education resource channel that it was for a long time. It was a distance learning channel, and when the internet came and it didn't need it, and some smart people said, well, let's make it an education channel. So it became one of the two education channels at MTSU. We're lucky to have two community channels. The students run one, and then MTSU's True Blue TV was more like the MPT, light, along with the professional development for teachers and the classroom enrichment. We did, nice documentaries about dolphins, anything that was entertaining, educational. When 2000 came along and all of a sudden we're all down with COVID and we're locked down, the station became the best way for us to keep our community together, to keep our campus community, our cable viewers, our alumni, the rest of Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee. It was a way to keep us all together, and we had to do everything that we would have done live. We would have had an event. We did it on the station virtually. And so that's when it really started becoming the hub for everything MTSU, and now anything MTSU that we can do, that's what I'm trying to cover.
It's amazing how much video technology has changed over the years. I mean, from the late 70s into the 80s and the 90s compared to today. The equipment used to be so big, so bulky, it used to take hours on end to edit anything.
Oh, yeah.
But today, I mean, the video quality, even on a phone, is comparable to the video quality of cameras back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, it really is. And things getting smaller and more lightweight. And the phones are really making a renaissance right now. A lot of the stuff that we get is people on the phone. But now that you can shoot it with a phone professionally, and now that you can edit it, it's really making inroads into getting a really quicker, more intimate connection with the people watching the station. You know, they're seeing stuff that just happened this morning, or they're seeing interactions with students that just did this on their phone, and they're showing, here's what I'm doing in England when I'm learning in England for the semester. Here, look, here's how I do it. It's very exciting.
And even interviews on national television networks, they're better today in a lot of ways, just because the guest does not have some huge camera in their face while they're being interviewed. And I think that can be intimidating. So when you talk about a smaller camera that's, even recording network interviews, it does make for a better interview.
Yeah, and the lights are not like giving you sunburn.
That's right.
They're all LEDs. It's really amazing. And of course, I hate to admit it, but I've been through all those transitions. I've been doing video since the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and I've seen all those things come. But now it allows us to do a station that's really, really, really fun. It's really interactive. It's we try to cover everything in MTSU. Say you had a niece or something and you could not get to graduation. Mm-hmm. Well, now you can go to TrueBlue TV and you can see the graduation. You can see the replay. I'll stick it on the video on demand page so you can watch it later when you guys get together in a couple of weeks. We try to promote as much of the MTSU events on the station so that people can really interact with the station. Interact with MTSU. That's the main thing, is keeping all our various communities together.
So when you see students today who are taking a class where they're, starting to understand videography, starting to understand the capabilities of just phones and cameras and all of that today versus yesteryear, do they understand how much more difficult it was to once upon a time edit video compared to today?
Oh, heavens no. There's a lot of things in video that you go, why do we do that way? And the kids are like, well, we really don't need to do this. This is not necessary. And I'm going, yes, but this is the way we did it. And that's why this tradition still happens. But since you didn't physically do it from a tape machine to a tape machine and everything was linear, I was just amazed when we can edit and it's like a word processor. It's really democratized it, where a lot more people can have the fun of putting stories together and sharing them with everyone. I tell the kids that I'm, I walk through snow. 4 feet of snow, both ways to edit my videos back then. You guys don't know how easy you have it.
Well, and even the early years of editing video on a computer, it was a slow process. The computers were not fast compared to today.
No, they really weren't. And the compression, in order to get a high resolution video, was a real stumbling block, because when you compress a signal, your computer has to have so much more computing power to uncompress that signal in real time and be able to edit it. Three streams of uncompressed video was huge, but it was also simple for your computer, a real souped up editing computer, to do. But in order to get all that compression into high definition, it really made it where it was just making your computer, roll over and die. And you're right. And anything you did, you had to cook it for a couple hours. You could get something pieced together, but then you had to let it render for 4 hours or something, or a day. Or
that's what it seems like. Yeah. Again, Ty Whitaker with us this morning, senior manager of TrueBlue TV at MTSU. So over the years at MTSU, have you worked with some students who later went on to become, big names in some type of video production, movie production, television production?
We have, yeah. We have a lot of students who have really done well in the media arts. And the station, TrueBlue TV, isn't directly connected to the College of Media and Entertainment, which is what I graduated from. Back then it was called Mass Communications. But they have a wall of fame where they have very many luminaries from the media and media and entertainment college. I'd like to say that, I had something to do with some of them, doing well, but really, we've got a great group of students. I tell you what, we've really had the Media and Entertainment College become like the biggest and the best, in my humble opinion, college of its type in anywhere in the region. And I don't want to badmouth anybody else, but I think ours has turned into the top media and entertainment college for this whole area of the country. And I think we could, you know, pretty much go up against anybody else too.
So Ty, what have been some of your favorite video projects over the years?
I tell you, one of the biggest, big fun one was the Judds coming back and doing their final concert at MTSU. That was just something that seemed like, oh wow, they're going to have a anniversary, and they worked it out with us when we're having our 50th anniversary of the Murphy Center, and it's their 33rd anniversary of when they had their final concert at MTSU way back when.
Yeah.
And our students got to do work on those projects. They got to work on the pay-per-view. They also, though, we couldn't really show the pay-per-view because, of course, it's going to come later. So we couldn't broadcast the concert per se. But we had a great red carpet show for an hour before the concert that we broadcast live. All our students were interviewing all these wonderful people, you know, the Judds and all these luminaries in the music business, in
Very
country
cool.
music business. It was really, that was a fun one.
Now, have you had a chance to put together video, let's say documentary style, of historic things that have happened on the MTSU campus over the years? And if so, did you have old video footage you were able to put into some of those projects?
We did have some old video, and right now we're really concentrating on making sure that we keep the old video. We've got the Gore Center, mm-hmm. where we deposit a lot of history of MTSU, and especially at our 100th anniversary, now this is dating us a little bit, this is 2011, but I got to work on the video for our 100th anniversary, and that was full of old footage, found footage that we had, had gotten. And it was actually a lot of fun because it was taking all these different formats that I hadn't dealt with for years and trying to find a working machine where we could actually transfer this video and get it into the new video, into the new format.
So many historic things have happened on the MTSU campus, from guest speakers to Elvis Presley playing there.
Oh, I know, yeah.
It's amazing that we have that kind of history in our own backyard.
It is. I actually ran across a Volunteer Jam album from the one that happened at Murphy Center and the record store the other day, and picked it up. It's especially the concerts.
Yeah.
The fact that we had a vice president who came and taught at the school. We just had a couple of wins on Emmy Awards and things like that. Our students just won a local regional Emmy for doing a commercial spot about the College of Media and Entertainment. God, we do it all. And it's all, the students did everything. They wrote the songs, they performed it, they were in the video, they edited it. That's their first time. That was like a student project.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are just now getting back from Bonnaroo, and they did all the Hulu broadcasts overnight throughout Bonnaroo. I think there was I'm not sure, I'd have to ask Professor Gordon, Bob Gordon, but they did shows for Hulu where our students were doing the live broadcast shows from the stages of Bonnaroo. And that's been a continuing, really fun event for our students to get real life experience and put things on their resume. Just say, hey, I did a major act, and they broadcast on Hulu, and I was running camera, or I was doing the switcher, or I was, running the audio. I was back of house for their audio. And, oh, wow, they did two stages that I think were very far apart.
Yeah.
I think like a half a mile or so apart. Those are just some of the things that our kids get to do that where I say, if you really want an education in media and entertainment and radio and journalism, all these things happen to MTSU, you'll have more opportunities than any other school, I would say.
And MTSU students have been covering Bonnaroo for a number of years now. And
yes, I'm not even sure how many now. It's I've forgotten. I should know that. but yeah, it's been like a decade now.
Yeah. So they seem to have a really good time doing it.
Oh, they come back glowing. I'm glad that if I get a t-shirt. You know, I stay back at the studio and they send me videos every day and I broadcast them. And I know it's a hot and sweaty job.
Very hot, yeah. Yeah,
like I said, it's just so many opportunities for students, and it extends to the whole university. It's not just media and entertainment. And of course, to me, you know, True Blue TV is like the most important thing in MTSU.
Absolutely.
But it's all the disciplines, all the colleges. There's these kind of opportunities, these level of opportunities for every student, no matter what you're majoring in.
Again, we're talking with Ty Whitaker, Senior Manager of True Blue TV at MTSU. Now, what made you want to go the route of doing video and you know, just all of that?
I was doing a lot of art and a lot of mixed media. But I'd always loved animation. This is all back in high school. And I started doing animation and really enjoyed it, really got into it, really did a lot of hard work. But then I'm, you know, making movies for classes in my media arts classes in high school. And I realized, oh, these people want to come act for me. And I don't have to spend 6 months, you know, moving little clay monsters or whatever. That built into coming to MTSU and wanting to get into film. I took every film class, and at the time we didn't really have a film degree, so I ended up in television. It was like the closest thing, and I'm sure, like everybody else, I was going to be the world's greatest director. But when I got out into the world, what people needed me to do at my first job was they weren't experienced with the equipment. And I was, so I ended up being kind of their editor, and I shot everything, but the main thing was, you know, like putting it together and sending it out the door. And I realized, especially after an internship where I was editing film the old way, where I was cutting it up and taping back together and stuff like that, I really liked this.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten to do a lot of things, you know, in my career that were a lot of fun. But that storytelling, that visual storytelling, was what drug me into video. And it was just so much fun. I know my daughters think it's great that they're adults now, and they think it's great that Dad has his own TV station. And but nowadays, you know, being on the TV station is not where all of our audience is. And if I could just do a plug,
yeah,
we now have iOS and Android apps for your phone, where if you really can't be at graduation, you can watch everything on your phone. And it's real easy to get them. It's True Blue TV, and you just search for that in the store, whichever store you're in, Google Play Store or the Apple Store, and there it is. It pops up. It's free, and you just install it, and now you're watching. It's real easy to use.
Very cool.
And that's what I'm really super focused on now, because our alumni, our viewers, our cable viewers are watching us on all
multiple
platforms. And if you still have the big screen, giant screen TV in your house, that's wonderful. We have an HD signal, and if you're not with Comcast right now,
yeah,
or you're not on DTC, or you're not on United Communications on their video end, if you have the internet, we have a Roku app, an Apple TV app, and an Amazon Fire Stick app. And so you can get us on any of those platforms.
Everywhere.
And if you really just want to watch us on the website, that's mtsu.edu/TrueBlueTV, all one word. And you can go to our website and you can watch us 24/7 live. And then if, you know, if it's like, well, you know, I'm not really into the live thing, I'm going to rewatch an Out of the Blue episode. you then just pull it up and watch it. If I'm going to just double check my child going across the stage in graduation, I'm just going to pull up that graduation.
Make sure that really happened. You know, it sounds like it's a lot of fun being a part of that. And you are documenting history on a lot of days, it sounds like.
Really are. And we're trying to take that really seriously. You know, with a university this big, you have many wonderful people coming to speak. And unfortunately, you know, those things happen, and there's not always a video presence to record that. So we're trying to get as much as we can. We want to at least make it available to the Gore Center so that it's documented for history. One thing I'm in the middle of right now is we did a wonderful group of shows in a partnership with ASCAP with songwriters. Now, this is an older show now. It was not in HD because it was before that. But it's called Song Speak with Hal Newman. And there are so many people on there. We still show the show. It's so popular that we still show it. But I'm trying to make sure that I get those episodes on an old format, old video format, to the Gore Center so these are, you know, there for posterity.
Yeah.
And everything that we do is really public domain, since we are funded by the state of Tennessee. We don't do anything for sale, and we're a resource for the whole state. Everything we do is public domain, and so we are trying to make sure that it is available for the public to see.
Very cool. Again, with us this morning, Ty Whitaker, Senior Manager of True Blue TV at MTSU. Well, we appreciate you joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a blast.
Definitely. We'll have to learn more in the future.
Oh, I'll come back anytime you need me.
Sounds good. We will see you again soon.
Thank you, Scott.
We're talking with Mary Ellen Evans. Why did you choose Adam's Place?
Mostly based on a realization that I wouldn't find anything more beautiful. The architecture is superb, elegant, and the people are caring. The residents, they consider it one family. I mean, this is just an unbelievable combination of good things.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Continuing the conversation with MTSU, and right now we have Dr. Donnie Walker with us this morning, assistant biology professor. So I guess tell us a little bit about what you do in the biology department.
Yeah, I teach biology classes, of course, microbiology, molecular biology. I teach a speciation course. We've built a large lab group where we mentor postdoctoral researchers, graduate students, and undergraduate students. We run a NSF-funded research program studying host microbiome pathogen interactions on skin and in gut microbiomes. So the bacteria and fungi that colonize our skin surfaces and our large intestine, small intestine, and large intestine, and how they interact with one another.
And then you brought two students with you as well this morning. You have Ian Wilson and Tatiana Martinez. So what year are you guys?
I'm a junior right now at MTSU. And I'm in second year. Yeah.
So what is your the end goal there? So what are you focused on in school?
Well, I mean, I'd love to keep continuing with research and kind of stay in academia. It's just something I find really interesting.
Yeah, and I'm a biochemistry major at MTSU, and I hope to eventually pursue a degree in osteopathic medicine and look at some naturally occurring compounds and see how they can benefit the health of human beings.
And then Dr. Walker, what are some of the focuses that you see there from the students, and what achievements have you seen?
Oh, goodness. We started this program, this undergraduate microbiome scientist program, this past semester. And so we've been training up 8 undergraduate students in the laboratory. Tatiana and Ian kind of stood out as some of the top performers, and so they were recruited into our summer research experience for undergraduate program. But really what I've seen over time is just the ability of these students to think critically, develop their own experiments, think about experimental design and how to troubleshoot. And I think these are some of the most rewarding experiences that I've seen as a teacher, mentor, and professor, just seeing their professional development.
So, Tatiana, what are some of the experiments that you've done there?
So, with UMSP, we ran kind of an experiment just gauging what all is there in the microbiome of, like, different areas on the plants. And we also had one, you know, kind of doing a survey of the microbiome in the gut of tree frogs and salamanders, as well as their gut microbiome as well.
So what did you find with the tree frogs?
So it's kind of just a preliminary experiment to kind of gauge, you know, where we're at in the laboratory and figure out how to use the various techniques that you can do and all the various assays that you can perform.
And then Ian, what about you? What have you done there?
Well, I, the past semester, kind of conducted a similar experiment to Tatiana and her group, but found a lot of similar things. I think we worked with copperheads specifically, but kind of going into this project, we've been looking a lot more at specific bacteria, which has been very exciting.
Did you have to hunt down copperhead snakes?
No, not us, no. Just a whole wealth of samples.
Yeah, luckily we have a large number of samples already stored in the freezer that we've sourced from collaborations with Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency, Tennessee Department of Environmental Conservation, and the TVA as well. So we work with them through a large, what we call a working group, a microbiome working group across the state, to help us collect these samples that then feed into these undergraduate and graduate level student projects.
So of the projects that are done there at MTSU, are the results of those sometimes given to different departments across the state?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we're developing a state wildlife action plan. It's called the SWAP plan, where what we do is survey disease. We survey different populations of important species, mostly reptiles and amphibians in my laboratory, and we report that back to agencies like TWRA and TDEC so that they can develop effective management plans to better manage these really important species for our landscape, for society, for the economy, all of the above. And so, yeah, we report back to them, and we also publish manuscripts of our scientific findings as well.
What are some of the more interesting findings you have come across over the years?
Oh, how deep do you want me to go?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, over the years, we've found bacteria, right? So bacteria live symbiotically on our skin as well as animal skin, and we found different species of bacteria that are actually able to inhibit and suppress fungal pathogen growth. So these are like beneficial species that live not only on us, but also in different wildlife species that help protect the animal from disease. That was kind of an interesting early finding back in 2018, I believe. More recently, we've been able to show that the gut bacterial and fungal microbiomes change in response to different species of fungi. So they shift in a particular and predictable manner. And so this has, I think, pretty like broad-reaching implications about how microorganisms, bacteria, and fungi, how they interact on animal skin, both our skin as well as these different wildlife species, and how we might be able to make predictions about how disease, a disease-causing organism, might impact the health of our skin and perhaps gut microbiomes as well.
Have you had any unique findings that are here in Tennessee but not elsewhere?
Most of our work is taking place in the southeastern United States. We have expanded a bit into the southwest, but I think oftentimes when we're designing projects, we really want to make sure that we capture like a broad geographic scope, because as we expand across that broad geographic scope, we learn more about the system, right? We're able to make generalizations about what might be happening within those ecological and biological systems. So oftentimes when we do experimental design, and this is something that I oftentimes talk to Tatiana and Ian about, is when thinking about experimental design, thinking about the scope, and if you focus at like a particular study site relative to like a broader geographic area, what you're going to learn as you kind of scale from a particular site to broader distribution. So most of what we try to do does span these larger geographic scopes. So most of what I've talked about, I think does apply to like most, I hope applies to most of the Southeast and eventually hopefully the Southwest as well.
And then have you had any projects or have students had projects where they do go somewhere specific and gather information?
Yeah, I think actually this is a great question for Tatiana and Ian. Maybe they can talk a little bit about their recent experiences with the Nashville Zoo.
Oh, yeah. So with the zoo, what all did you do there?
Well, we got the amazing opportunity floated to us kind of impromptu, where we got to go out with one of the master's students in Dr. Walker's lab to go to a hellbender release, which they're these giant salamanders that are found in North America. And that was partnered with the Nashville Zoo, and so we got to help out, and that was a really rewarding experience.
It was an incredible opportunity. We even got to actually handle the endangered species, and that's a privilege I did not expect, especially as an undergraduate student. Yeah. It was amazing.
And that was less than a month into our program this summer. So,
where did you go to release those?
I think it was kind of west of Spring Hill, so Middle Tennessee, and mm-hmm. I think they found some people's local property, a lot of nice freshwater sites where looked pretty healthy for some good release pieces of the animals.
Hey, and then Dr. Walker, do you work with TWRA on a regular basis?
We do. Yeah, we've been working with TWRA since I started a laboratory in the state in 2015. They're just absolutely great bunch of individuals to work with.
What do you see a lot of students doing after they do graduate?
Yeah, it's a combination of different things. I like to encourage students to go to continue in academia, to be professors, to be mentors, to train the future generation of scientists. I also encourage students to go the governmental route, and so working for agencies like TWRA or USGS or the USDA. Oftentimes I've had students, master's students, decide that they really like the teaching element and go teach high school or grade school science and math. I've had students go into industry as well, like disease detection, analytical, molecular analytical type disease detection components.
So what students learn there at MTSU that could really, it could change medicine for one, and what else do you see happening?
Well, so most of what we do in the laboratory doesn't focus on human health and human medicine, but more so of like wildlife conservation and biodiversity conservation. And so we hope that by monitoring disease in the field and helping these programs like these hellbender Head Start programs, where they breed hellbenders in captivity, raise them to a particular age, and then release them into the wild to help repopulate a particular species that is currently threatened and might be listed in the future. We really hope that by screening for disease and learning about the health benefits of the microbiome, that we can improve the management of these species in captivity and the management of these species on the landscape so that they continue to live and survive for many generations into the future, because they are really a critical component of our ecosystem and of our landscape.
So how diverse is our ecosystem here in Tennessee compared to other parts of even the world?
One of the best. The easiest way to describe it. We have the highest freshwater fish diversity, I believe, on the planet. We are one of the top wildlife diversity locations for amphibians on the planet, only paralleling that of the tropics. Yeah, we have incredible reptile, amphibian, and freshwater fish diversity here in Tennessee.
Do you think it will remain that way, or are there any changes that you've seen over the years that could endanger that?
Yeah, well, I don't want to be too negative, but yeah, unfortunately, development over the time, human development and expansion and fragmentation of the landscape is probably one of the biggest risks that currently threaten these really incredible species and the diversity in the state and on the planet as well.
So have you had a chance to do any studies in regards to, let's say, the oceans, the closest ones to us, maybe the Gulf of Mexico?
We haven't done anything yet in the ocean. No, most of our work has been with terrestrial and aquatic systems, but that are freshwater, mostly landlocked systems. We do have a trip planned this coming July down to Louisiana, where we'll be doing a little bit of alligator work. So I guess it's kind of like brackish water there, but not necessarily ocean-based work.
So alligator work, is there a chance we're going to have alligators here in our waterways?
No. We won't be bringing the animals back. We'll be sampling them in their ecosystem and letting them go.
And then what are some other projects that you have coming up?
Yeah, so we have two National Science Foundation funded projects right now. One is focused on the gut microbiome of reptiles and amphibians, and the other is a project that is a skin microbiome project. It's focused on snake fungal disease and the interactions of bacteria and other fungi, beneficial fungi, with a pathogen, a fungal pathogen called the snake fungal disease pathogen. In the future, we are thinking a little bit more about the discovery and description of unknown species of fungi on planet Earth, right? So as of right now, there are estimates of up to 10 million species of fungi that exist on planet Earth, and we've only described a few hundred thousand of those species. So there's a huge undescribed, unknown group of fungi, fungal diversity that exists on planet Earth that we have not even yet to begin to scratch the surface. And many of these fungi produce really interesting compounds, like what Tatiana's interested in studying. Like, natural products produced by species of fungi are really important. So for example, like the genus Penicillium produces the drug penicillin. This is a fungus. This particular antimicrobial compound was discovered by bioprospecting of this particular fungus. And so there's this huge group of undescribed fungal species on planet Earth that probably have all of this interesting biochemistry and natural products production that we have not even yet begin to source or think of. My lab is not so much focused on the development of pharmaceuticals or development of these particular compounds, but learning about the diversity that's out there. And then other laboratories in collaboration with us kind of follow up on the development and discovery of those interesting natural products.
So are some of these growing here in Tennessee?
Oh, absolutely. You could probably walk outside right now, pick up a leaf or a stick, and describe two or three new species off of that plant material. You could probably take a gram of soil from right outside the building, and I'd say that close to 20-30% of the microbes living in that soil are yet to be described and discovered.
So how is that even possible, that we have all of this that hasn't yet been really looked into?
Well, microbes are great. They're just so diverse and just absolutely great. I don't know quite how to answer that question, right? This has been an ongoing effort for hundreds of years, where we've been trying to describe the diversity of bacteria and fungi, but just not enough scientists that are doing it, which is why I'm recruiting individuals like Tatiana and Ian and the other individuals in our undergraduate microbiome scientist program and training them on how to do these techniques. It's that mentor-mentee relationship that I hope will allow for them to develop prosperous and productive research careers in the future.
So as we close this morning, how can people learn more about some of the different projects that are going on at MTSU?
Quick Google search works quite well. If you're interested in learning what our lab does, you can Google my name, Donald Walker, at MTSU. Our lab webpage will pop up, and there's a bunch of other content there as well. The faculty webpage does a really nice job at synthesizing all of the different projects that are going on in both biology, chemistry, and the molecular biosciences program, the PhD molecular biosciences program at MTSU. That's probably what I'd recommend.
Sounds good. Again, Dr. Donnie Walker with us this morning, and also we have students Tatiana Martinez and Ian Wilson. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Your Atlanta Braves station.
Hey, this is Ben Ingram. Thanks for listening to the home of Atlanta Braves baseball, News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.